Welcome to Stuntman. I have always believed that stunt professionals, stuntmen and women, are the backbone of the film industry. And without them, Thor couldn't fly, Luke wouldn't have defeated the Emperor, there would be no Infinity War, and most importantly, your favorite Disney character, Captain Frank, would have never seen the backside of water in Jungle Cruise. Now, what you are about to see is the story of a professional stuntman, Eddie Braun. He's a friend of mine who, with the support of his family, pursues his dream of stepping foot in the shoes of his childhood hero. Now, I cannot stress this enough, that the stunts you are about to witness are extremely dangerous, they're very real, and they feature highly trained stunt professionals with decades of experience. So please do not, in any way, try any of this at home. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I welcome you and your families to please enjoy our film, Stuntman.
Dwayne Johnson, executive producer, Stuntman. Disney Plus presents a film by Kurt Mattilla. Driving through countryside with the sun low on the horizon, a car travels along a dusty road towards a high metal frame standing beside a canyon. A man takes a white jacket off a coat hanger and picks up a helmet. He steps out of a trailer to a waiting crew and the high frame by the canyon.
I'm the face you never see.
He walks to the frame carrying his helmet.
You see what I do? You're supposed to see our actions. But you're never supposed to see me. Because the star's face is the one you see.
Standing on the white frame, wearing the helmet, the stuntman climbs into a white rocket called Evil Spirit with Stars and Stripes decals. The jet accelerates up the steep launch ramp, and people in a trailer run out to watch it fly up into the blue sky, trailing thick white smoke. Others watch as it descends rapidly. Title: Stuntman. An American flag flies outside a small house. Inside, a family eats around a table.
Can I go first?
Hey, just so you know, I expect no problems. I'm going to be out of town this week.
Where?
Vegas. So, any issues, I don't want to hear about it. We're filming nights, which means I'll be half asleep during the day. I don't want Mom calling me saying, that's the one time I'm saying that, I won't bring it up again.
Can I come?
No. You go to school.
What if you get lonely?
I won't. I'm working.
Eddie Braun, professional stuntman, Transformers, The Avengers. Eddie leaves the house at night. He drives through a town at dusk and arrives at a warehouse in full daylight. Eddie gets out and goes inside.
Hey, you guys are working on my car. I will be taking this car up to a speed, probably 70 or 80 miles an hour. And at a certain point, I'm going to hit this button. We call it the easy button. I've had this over the years.
Doing the cannon, all you gotta do is get that.
It will detonate a bomb that is rigged in the car. On the big screen, you'll see this car exploding and all of that. But what you won't know is inside that car, I'll be in here flipping and flopping down the road. Another hard thing is climbing out of these things. I'm too old to be doing this still. And usually when I climb out of it, they're upside down.
He gets out and closes the door, then gets in for the shoot. He puts on his helmet and drives. The player action sequence. Eddie drives his police car alongside another. Eddie yanks the wheel and pushes the red easy button. The bomb goes off behind him, and flames fill the car. Eddie's car and the second police car flip and skid down the road. The stuntman's car lands on its wheels, and he sits slumped in the driver's seat with his eyes closed. People run towards him.
Eddie.
Okay, buddy, just stay right where you're at. Hey. Stay right where you're at. Good job.
I'm good. I know you are.
I'll take it, bro.
Yep. I'm just going to get your belt.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
I'm good. Get you out now.
I'm good. I just need to
know you. I know you do. How did it look?
He asks, how did it look? Did it go over?
Yeah, it went over. Good shot. Good flame. You'll see it. Good shot. Are you okay?
Yeah. I just got my ball going.
I know you did, but you're okay.
Yes.
Leave that on to get you out.
A still photograph of the stunt, with the two flaming police cars flipping at different angles. Driving past Manhattan Beach, California.
For me, it's home because this is where I was born and raised. So I'm going to show you. And I think you were talking about, do I pass places where I've done stunts and think about them? You asked me that earlier. I'll never forget the day, the tone. One of the stunts I did was take a car at about 65 miles an hour and flip it for the fall guy and end up on the beach.
Oh, I remember
and,
that.
Right. And every time I drive by here, I think of it. I will show you the spot. It was right here on the road. Every time I drive down here, I look down at the ocean. I think, wait, I flew a car off of this. I know the spot exactly. Right here.
Slow motion footage of a car flying off the road and landing on its roof at the bottom of a steep bank. Eddie gets out of it.
All right, Eddie.
Now, a lot of stunts in this picture. You jumping, punching people, flying through windows. You ever get injured doing any of these stunts?
I don't do my own stunts. Well, Eddie Braun, who's my stuntman, let him do it.
Oh, he's the guy that looks like you?
He looks a lot like me.
Yeah.
Eddie leaps off a car for Charlie Sheen, Meg Braun.
I never thought about, stunt people. Stunt doubles. It never really occurred to me about a stunt person until I met him. And it's like, oh, I thought it was, Tom Cruise.
I met my wife through her sister. And the funny thing is, at first, my wife didn't like me at all. Thought, who is this Hollywood stunt man?
Yeah.
That was the hard part, is trying to describe what I did for a living.
And then he made some little videos of himself going to work and like, oh, that's what you do.
There's the harness. There's my ramp.
That's me. Blood type, O positive. No penicillin.
Meg, I miss you. And what else? I'm doing all of this so we can pay our bills, okay?
It was an easy day at work.
It was a commercial,
easy precision driving. I'm trying to put the baby down. She's 4 months old or 6 months old. And I get this phone call.
Footage from a helicopter in the desert, which crashes.
Meg, Eddie's just been in a helicopter crash.
Conrad Palmisano, professional stuntman.
I remember I was in the lead car and I slam on the brakes and I jump out of the car and I come running up and you're lying there on the ground and I'm going, Eddie, you okay? And you're going, my back. And we get you over to the side. We lay you down and going, Eddie, let's just stay still. The ambulance is on the way. Everything's on the way. Just relax like that. And you go, no. I need to sit up. I go, don't sit up. I want to sit up. 3 minutes later, you're standing up going we got to finish today. We got to shoot out in Malibu. I'm going, Eddie, you just crashed in a helicopter. Now you're going to go back to work. You're going to drive from Palmdale to Malibu to finish the day. And he did.
I'm never calm until I hear his voice. When I hear his voice, I know he's okay. I got on the phone with him, and I'm like, are you sure you're okay? And he's, I'm fine. It was scary, but I'm fine. So I said, well, since you're good, can you stop by and get some milk? Because I've got four kids, a newborn, she won't go down for a nap, and I need, milk. So when are you going to be home?
Yeah, my family has a great way of keeping me real and keeping me grounded.
Did you call his wife or did someone else call his wife?
I believe I called her to let her know that they crashed and that he was okay.
That's going to be a tough phone call.
Oh, yeah. not the toughest, because we've had other ones that were tougher than that when they didn't make it out the other side. So, I mean, you have to call their parents and go, you know. And we want to be the first, you know, the first ones to say so, you know, that they're going to hear it on the news or from some production assistant or whatever, that the stunt family were very, very close. And there's all these political entities in the stunt world. You know, there's this stunt group and that stunt group and this gag and that gag. But when it comes down to when you're on the set, no matter what group, what your affiliation is, what your political things are, when it's that guy's day in the barrel, we're all there for them. And when it's my day in the barrel, they're all there for me, because it's a very, very close-knit family that we live in and work with.
Eddie prepares for another stunt.
I love Eddie like a brother. I want him to stop doing these dangerous things, because eventually, you know, law of averages, you're going to get taken down.
Driving a van at night, it jumps in the air, flips over, and rolls down the road. Eddie's pulled out, injured.
Poor Eddie.
Day at work today. Say hello.
Hello.
How the hell did I end up here?
His leg is x-rayed.
How's that?
Sorry.
No.
That's good.
All right. This is not fun.
Eddie films himself.
Can I pass out now? Yeah.
Eddie lies awake on a hospital bed with a medical band around his wrist and is injected in the arm. Meg stands by the bed and watches, then gives him a kiss before he's wheeled off to surgery.
When I first got in the business, one of the elder stuntmen said to me, you know, you don't really ever retire from this business. This business retires you. And that always stuck with me. Here I'm in my early 50s. How long am I really gonna do this?
I started reflecting.
Growing up, the guy that inspired me to be a stuntman was Evel Knievel. I met him, I was a kid.
This Sunday, a daredevil hustler named Evel Knievel, who's made a national reputation jumping motorcycles, will try to cross a 1,700-foot canyon in Idaho riding a rocket. If he makes it, he'll be many times a millionaire. If he doesn't, he'll be dead.
I remember, I think I was like 8 years old, 9 years old, watching Evel Knievel strapped in that rocket, in that up angle. He could do anything. He was like a superhero. I remember the hype around it. I remember all of that.
I don't know what to say. I've never seen anything like this.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Whoa, it looks like a good one. Whoa. Oh. Been a mistake. He looks like he's going into the canyon. The ship's going down. He's going to crash.
Evel Knievel stays in the rocket.
This canyon, this cliff, it's Evel Knievel's kryptonite. And it got him.
He crash lands.
Robert Craig Knievel did not clear the 1,600-foot Snake River Canyon, but he's alive and well, and he tried.
You got an email or something, and he's like, hey, somebody is building
a rocket
and they need a pilot to fly it. I'm going to be the guy. So I'm like, what?
A roll-up door opens, revealing a large garage.
It has been my dream since I was a kid to be able to prove that my dad's rocket would have worked.
Scott Truax, Rocketeer.
He had a stellar career in aerospace. He's instrumental in starting NASA. But he's known for this spectacular failure.
Bob, what happened?
This is the cover to the parachute canister. It obviously came loose much too soon. And so the rocket went up, the engine thrusting madly, and the parachute dragging behind and trying to slow it down.
You know, the parachute malfunction, it wasn't his fault. But he never lived it down.
The New York Times reports Robert Truax, a top rocket scientist, is dead at 93. His dream of building bargain basement spaceships never materialized.
I have a folder that my dad created, and it said Sky Cycle 2 on it. It's what he would have done if he had the chance to do it again. So I've got a stack of data, calculations.
But we had no pilot.
And I get this message from this guy, Eddie Braun, I'd never heard of. And he said, I gotta fly your rocket.
This isn't just some crazy idea that's gonna go away. He's really gonna do it.
I'm ending my career. I figured, you know what? I will go out on a high note, on a rocket crossing a canyon, finishing what my hero started.
Who knows? Maybe someday somebody will even jump the Snake River Canyon. It'll be successful.
Buddy Joe Hooker, Fate of the Furious, Death Proof.
Being a daredevil, you do these things that are incredible, but you're not sure how it's going to turn out. You're not sure if you're going to live, you're going to die. I'm a stuntman. And stunt work for me is an art form, an expression of myself physically. I have a certain amount of daredevil in me in the fact that I want people to be thrilled and I want them to get excited, but I want the outcome to be the way I want it.
So we plan our things out and we have a calculated end result. It's what was described to me many years ago by the great Kerry Lofton, who was the greatest car guy when I came into the business. He said he would call it a swag. And that is, swag means a scientific wild-ass guess, right? And what that meant, you took all the knowledge that you have in your experience and you put all those things together and go, well, my swag is just going to land over there and I'll be upside down and I'll slide up to the camera, but I won't crush it. And that's what stuntmen do, taking known factors and putting into an unknown situation.
Twin Falls, Idaho, 2014.
Driving ever closer to my... but I call it my destiny. This rocket now has become my destiny. Forget the fact that I've got 30 plus years of great movies and great stunts. My whole professional and probably my personal life will be defined by a rocket.
Eddie drives a long straight road through the flat open landscape.
What I love about here is the speed limits. You can go fast.
Stuntman Gary Davis is with him.
So are we coming back the other way? Is that what I might hang in?
Yeah,
U-turn?
We'll go up a little bit and then we'll
set up. So basically, I'm already going to have crossed the canyon.
They drive across the bridge, and Eddie's eyes widen.
There it is, buddy.
Wow.
A river snakes along it.
Kind of notice how jagged it is on the other side.
It's pretty high. What is it, 500 something feet below?
I think it's over
600, 685. Well, see, I crossed it in a nice, comfortable vehicle at about a quarter of the speed that I'm going to be in a little rickety rocket.
Eddie looks thoughtful. The car comes to a stop on the other side of the canyon. He waits for a truck to go past in the opposite direction, then drives across the road and through a gate into a field. They follow some roughly made tracks to a big standalone mound of earth by the canyon.
Freezing. I don't know if it's nerves or it's just cold. Play a little ball. No macho in me. I'm not afraid to say this. Damn.
Eddie and Gary walk to the top of the mound, the Snake River Canyon, 40 years after the original launch. They stand looking out at the view.
Yeah, we're here with the film crew. We're actually seeing for the very first time right now.
First time. I've seen his pictures.
He's white, and he's passed twice, and I've had to pick him back up off the ground. But other than that, he's fine.
Aerial footage flying over the land past Eddie, Gary, and Scott, who stand on the edge of the canyon, looking across it. From high above, the river at the bottom of the canyon.
My dad had leftover pieces of the rocket, a lot of pieces that we're using now, and we're going to be machining this rocket with tools that were used back in 1974.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty cool.
It's all come full circle. And see, notice which direction the wind's blowing? You don't want to be facing it. I mean, even with a wind blowing, the rocket will go nearly a mile downrange, so...
So you find me in the next county?
Yeah, you will clear it, no problem, but I never get tired of this view.
This literally is jumping off a cliff, you know? Would you follow your hero over the edge of a cliff?
From my perspective, those 10 seconds that I'm on that launch pad, I'm going to get to feel what Mr. Knievel felt. And the funny thing is, he and I couldn't be more different personally, because he's a daredevil guy that, mm-hmm. you know, had no fear. And
yeah. This is a guy that is afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm terribly afraid of heights.
Are you really?
Oh, absolutely. I hate pain. I hate heights. I hate all that sort of thing.
So you said when you first do a stunt, you have to have good people behind you. You want to tell us who's on your team?
Well, my first phone call. I called a gentleman named Gary Davis. This guy is like a stuntman's stuntman. I worked with him on the 80s show, The Fall Guy, Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This guy, yeah, for me as a kid, I was in awe working with this guy.
So he's a legend of stuntmen. He's standing
yeah.
right next to me.
He's standing right
next to me.
So I'm looking at this jump as just another very, very intricate action sequence.
Yeah.
So how are you going to change it, Scott? People said it was the parachute was the problem.
We updated the entire parachute recovery system. We've made massive progress on the rocket. Every day it's ramping up, you know, exponentially.
All right, we have Eddie Braun and Scott Truax joining us this morning on Top Story. And talking about the jump over the Snake River Canyon. Really a fascinating story. Give us a call.
Town Hall Meeting, Twin Falls.
Well, thank you guys for coming. I thought there would be like maybe 8 people here. I'd like to, I guess, start by saying this is a big dream of ours. We get to tell this very interesting story of one of the most unique stunts in American history. I hope that we can address all of your concerns and answer any questions that you might have.
You know, Knievel was not exactly a family figure. Back 40 years ago, we had guys pulling up in big old hogs and sleeping in our bean field. I didn't like that.
What about security purposes after the event?
What time of night are you going to stop?
This event not being a biker event. This is the type, this is an American event, not come out and tear the place
up.
Good
question. This is the time of year that's going to be harvest for every farmer in this area.
Subtitles. You're ruining a beautiful sight with what you're doing now. Standing at the back of the room in a suit, Eddie walks to the front.
First of all, guys, just know that I'm not a professional speaker. There's a reason I'm a stuntman and not an actor. That's not exactly it. But and I first off want to say thank you for welcoming me here to your communities.
I'm a family man, same wife of 20 years. I'm a father. I have 4 children. And for me doing this, I want to do something that my kids will be proud of. And coming here to you, being welcome to your town and leaving a bad taste, such as I've heard Mr. Knievel did, would not make me a proud man for my kids. So in so much as far as my involvement with this and flying the rocket, I plan on doing this with as much class and dignity as I possibly can. All right, well, thank you for having me, and thank you again, Ms. Roma, for supporting us.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
You know, guys, hey, we're all excited about this. To the stuntmen, I met Evel Knievel myself.
I was 7 years old when Evel Knievel jumped the canyon. I don't remember it real well, but I had a mini bike, and the day after the event, I jumped 14 trash cans on my mini bike. I didn't make it.
Does anybody knows?
That doesn't make him not a hero. It won't make you not a hero. The hero comes from the guy who gets in it. But it doesn't have to do anything about making it.
Evel Knievel was a hero to me, but you got to do some pretty bad things if you leave a legacy that they're still pissed off 40 years later.
Part of it was stuff that he could have controlled. I mean, he apparently has left a lot of debts. He didn't pay all the bills. Well, it was one thing, but then there was just the crowds trashed everything.
I,
I gotta admit, if someone came to my home and says, listen, I'm gonna fly a rocket and use your front yard as a launch pad or a landing zone, I'd probably be pretty concerned too. So I can't blame them.
At the rural Truax Rocket Shop, February 26th, 2014.
In that room there.
Oh, the right?
Yeah. Put up that.
I don't know if it's like sausage. You don't know if you really want to see how it's made.
Okay, here we go, bud.
A half-built rocket.
Forming it.
Hi, boy.
What do you think?
This is your first time seeing it?
There's the first time.
We should have had some sort of better unveil. Do you love it?
Mr. Truax.
You know, you think rocket, you think precision, you think all of that. Yet I see a hammer, a drill, and a...
Well, it's, we're not NASA or JPL.
That's fine. All that's missing is a roll of duct tape. I'm good to go.
We've got some duct tape around here somewhere.
Well, this makes it very real now, that's for sure.
This is a hybrid of, hot rod and World War II technology.
There's the dent in the nose.
Don't...
A little Bondo to fix it?
That's exactly what we're going to do. But this is the test rocket.
So my vehicle already has a dent on it. What could go wrong?
A rivet's hammered in.
Luke? Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Just know now, you've seen a face. Yeah. Every nut and bolt you put on this thing, my life is in your hands. Please remember that.
Eddie and Gary stand and look at the bare bones of the stunt rocket with grave, thoughtful expressions. Buddy Joe Hooker.
When I first met Eddie, he was a up-and-coming stunt guy trying to make a living out there.
Back then, if you wanted to make a name for yourself as a stunt person, and you really cared about what your fellow stuntmen thought about you, that's the name of the game. And it kind of motivated you to want to do bigger, better, things that everybody else would never even think of doing or imagine themselves doing. Eddie kind of caught on to that right away.
You have to earn trust in this business. And little by little, we start to move Eddie forward and give him bigger stunts and bigger stunts and bigger stunts. And the bigger the stunts were, the better he did.
But Eddie, see, we just take it to the point where it's like traumatic. He's doing three more spins than he should. He's on fire more. He would crash a car that was supposed to jump at a certain time.
He's going to tell the special effects guy that I need a bigger explosive.
A car crashes into oil drums and explodes.
You'd run over to get him out. Eddie, are you awake?
Hey, he's all right, yeah.
Eddie, don't you know we're standing over here freaking out? What are you doing? Oh, no, hey, dude, I was just... I wanted to make it a little bit better.
And Eddie was one of those guys, a full all-around stuntman. Whatever you asked him to do, he could do and do it well.
And if you wanted the respect of your fellow stuntmen, that's how you did it. He'd push the envelope.
That's what Eddie used to do, you know?
All the time.
A car flies through the air, lands on its nose, and flips over to finish up on its wheels. A car's unloaded from a truck. Ford commercial shoot, April 16th, 2014.
If you wreck one of these things, there's huge responsibility for mistakes. Okay, so I want to retire, or I'm working my way towards that.
We never retire.
I, though, I'm going to get out while the getting's good. I can still walk. And anyways, on the 40th anniversary, 40 years, this September, same spot in Twin Falls, Idaho. I'm flying a rocket.
Your parachute just deploys about 2 seconds later than his did.
Yes. Yes. And this director, he's also directing the documentary about this whole rocket. Because I realized if I'm going to jump a canyon, I should probably get that on film. You know, I didn't talk to you about this yesterday, but... Let me swing that for a second, Lyle. Okay, you got your helicopter, got your car. How many cars are in this shot?
Two cars. Not including the edge and the insert car.
All right. It's really high-tech equipment. We get a lot of planning. Here is the Blues Brothers. You want to talk about an 80-car pileup? I still have notes of where all the cars...
So that's what we'll
Where's the General Lee?
Oh, that's been given away.
Or the Fall Guy's truck? He's not here.
He's not in that.
And this is Eddie in the Sky Cycle.
right here. Look at that smile on his face. Now, ready to go. Did you ever do, like, come to school, father-daughter, career day kind of thing?
No, because then it becomes this whole, it takes away from her. I've seen other people.
What if like Evel Knievel, you came, like, what if some kid's like, I became a stuntman because Haley's dad came in one day with a bunch of toys and old things that talked about the Blues Brothers and smashed them, and I'm a stuntman.
But you remember
something,
I'm one of those guys that are behind the scenes.
Director Kurt Mattilla smiles and nods. A clapperboard's used to start a chute, and a black helicopter flies low along a dried-up concrete waterway. It follows two cars driving side by side, filmed by a car in front of them. The crew and Eddie go over the chute with Eddie's model cars and helicopter. On the chute, the chopper flies right up behind the two cars, almost touching them. Eddie sits calmly at the wheel of one. Work continues in the Truax rocket workshop, following a rough blueprint. Bolts are put in place, and the padded seat back is added. At the car chute, the helicopter flies under a low bridge. A sign on the wall of the workshop reads, "Keep calm, fly rockets." Eddie skids to a stop at night.
Do it again, but give us a bigger slide.
He does it again. At home.
Who's feeding Elvis?
Get off of Instagram and do your homework.
Outside it looks like such a quaint house. Well, you guys are going to blow this thing up. Planting bombs. 3, 2, 1.
A house explodes. An arrow points to Eddie, who drops to the ground behind a truck in the driveway. After the shoot,
and that's Thursday night,
Eddie goes home to his family.
Hey, what was that? I heard you were climbing palm trees the other day at school. Let me just tell you one thing about that. When you're climbing trees like that, especially at night, you don't know what's on that tree.
There could be a monkey.
As far as... No, seriously. As far as, like, bugs and spiders. But that, and the only reason I know this is because I climbed a tree and I got covered in ants.
Ew.
I'm just telling you, when you cherish those guitar-playing fingers of yours, just be wary when you do that.
How often am I out climbing palm trees?
Where are we right now today in terms of the process? You've seen the rocket... Is there a test that you do or
where we're at right now? Yesterday I found out I have a major network now behind me.
A headline: Fox plans jump of the century.
Not only is that humbling, that's scary. Now I have a big corporation behind me, and as I've been told, now I've got 10 and 20 million eyeballs that are going to be on this. So it's no longer just us going, let's fire a rock, climb in it, but let's fire it, and cool. Now if I make a mistake, I can't just go hide. If I make a mistake, assuming I survive the mistake, let's start with that. But anything short of that, it's I'll be known as the guy that didn't get the rocket across. Fortunately, I had him build 3 rockets. I'm getting across that.
Yes. Stuntman Eddie Braun plans to soar across the Snake River Canyon in a steam-powered rocket.
The legendary daredevil Evel Knievel tried it back in the 70s. He failed.
His parachute deployed too early.
Usually I'm hiding behind an actor.
How do you like that?
I like it a lot better than this.
This is a little
nerve-wracking, but it's okay.
It's
very humbling.
In a studio, jump of the century. Rocket Man recording. Musician Slash stands with Eddie. 90 days to live broadcast.
It's like surreal for me.
Now you have to make it across.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't hear your guitar, your signature in there. And stuff. I mean, it's like, all right, this is...
Wow. This is really awesome. I can't thank all of you enough. It's gonna be epic. Well,
you're jumping off cliffs. So.
When is the launch again?
right now they're talking the third week of October, which coincides with Game 1 of the World Series. Because that's where they want to pair it with the World Series.
This is iconic in so many ways.
Yeah.
Especially when we pull it off and all these elements come together.
You can't not pull it off, really.
Well, I know.
Like you said, it's just going to go.
Yeah.
You
know? So yeah, as long it's as the recovery. Is okay, yeah, it's the Fox did demand they did put in the contraction that there's a 5-second delay.
Just in case
I blow up or something.
Yeah. Come on, I'll walk you out.
I've often wondered if my dad had killed, if Evel Knievel had died, how hard would that have been for my dad to get over? I couldn't live with myself if my rocket ended up hurting Eddie. That would be tough to live down. So we're going to make for damn sure certain that he leaves in as good a condition as he got in it. So,
guys, thank you.
Thank you. I say break a leg.
If that's all I end up with, if it goes bad, I'll be okay.
I'm okay with a broken leg.
I will be personally overlooking just about every last little aspect. I mean, I've bucked most of the rivets. I've done a ton of the welding on it. If something bad happens, it's coming right back on me. So, unless there's some calculations that I could blame on my dad, but the first one almost made it, so I don't think we're going to have that issue.
Back at the Canyon, unmanned engine test, September 8th, 2014. 41 days to broadcast.
Hi, are we live?
We're live. We're live. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank everybody here in Twin Falls. They've treated me wonderfully. They were really nice.
Okay, so what's going on today and what
today, we are going to witness a static thrust test. The machine is on the ramp. Right now, water's being boiled to 700 degrees inside that rocket engine. That's hotter than a volcano. The pressure from that steam should be strong enough to fire me across the canyon. But that's why we're testing it first.
Well, we're all looking forward to seeing it.
Excuse me.
Your attention, please.
Guys, we have a 15-minute warning. We'll be ready in about 15 minutes to blow this thing.
It's roped off right now, and that, believe me, that's bare minimum. You shouldn't even be that close. At any moment, it could burst.
You're in a horrible angle here. You'll never be behind it, or you'll be showered in steam. It'll be a profile shot, probably from over there somewhere, okay, is what I'm guessing.
So next step is he closes the bleed-off valve. He'll turn the boiler off, and then it's go time. 5 more minutes.
This is a perfect place to stand, right?
Is everyone right here?
Initiator enabled.
Does it happen?
Launching in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Nothing happens. Everyone looks shocked. The crew stand around, waiting. Eddie's in the broadcast truck.
Jim, you want to head out there? I'll let them do their technical. I mean, you're welcome to come back here.
It didn't break before.
They go outside and look at the rocket from a short distance away.
So, what happened?
I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist. That's for the smarter guys than me. I'm just the guy flying it.
Camera equipment's carried away. People wander around the site looking quiet and somber.
We receive word the new bosses at Fox TV have backed away from the Snake River Canyon jump.
Part of a headline reads, Fox nixes jump of the century.
I think maybe the legal department at Fox looked at it, and being in a former legal department of a big company, you look at those things and you're like, are you kidding me? What are the risks? You know, and I think probably maybe they squashed it. I just have a hard time wondering. I don't know if you'd really want to televise something. That thing looked a little risky.
Not good news for Eddie Braun.
Well, I mean, Fox obviously decided not to, but it doesn't mean another media partner will step up.
Right, yeah.
But at this late date, I'd have a hard time believing it's already the end of September. How do you sell it?
I don't know.
The sun sets on the high scaffold ramp. A city at night, then moving with traffic towards L.A.
Everybody likes the idea of a rocket. Then they realize the reality of the idea, then they don't like the idea. Because it requires a huge amount of personal accountability and responsibility. That's where a lot of people say, wait a minute, let's talk about this. You're going to do what? And they get nervous and they back out.
sitting in a diner.
Good stunt guy. They always do what they say they're going to do. You let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. Originally, I was just going to be the pilot of this rocket. Till I found out from the guys building the rocket, they had no money. So now, not only did I start out just being the pilot, I also became the pilot and the financier. I'm not a rich guy, but when you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. And at a certain point, there's no turning back. So it came time to write some pretty big checks.
He sketches the rocket on a napkin.
So if a TV network isn't going to help me, then I guess I have to find some kind of other sponsor.
See you boys later.
Eddie walks along a narrow passage with high metal walls and comes out at a drag race track.
Welcome to Thunderdome. These are like land rockets.
Yeah, they are.
One of the reasons we were here this whole weekend is to meet some of these corporate guys.
Hey, and I want to introduce you to Craig. He runs Chevrolet Performance. He's the main guy right here.
Craig Shantz.
Rick?
Craig.
Craig. Craig, I'm Eddie Braun.
Craig's with Chevy Performance.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So you're redoing the jump?
Yeah, same place. Thing. No, in Twin Falls.
Oh, yeah, oh my God. It's awesome. He didn't make that, did he?
No, he didn't. That's why.
That's... And then did he land on the ledge? Or...
No, his parachute deployed early, and he just went down into the river.
Watching that on TV, man.
What time did he
do it? Eddie signs an autograph.
Hey, if I don't make it, maybe that kid ends up trying it with my autograph.
But a sponsor in this deal.
Right now, we're a clean slate. We're not with any zero sponsor. So it is a steam rocket.
Right.
It could be. Do you have a card? Let's leave them a card.
Yeah, they have jumpsuits and everything else.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, maybe they'll see it as something that makes sense, you know, on the money train.
Looks fast just sitting there, huh?
Yeah.
It might look faster if it had Lucas Oil somewhere on there. Just a thought.
He's the president of HRA.
Oh, sir, I'm Eddie Braun. Hey, nice to meet you. He attempted it, didn't get across. Just fulfilling his dream. It's like stepping in for Superman or something. No, I'm not crazy. Listen, I'm a father of four. I'm not crazy. I'm Eddie.
Craig Ben, Coca-Cola.
Oh, Craig, pleasant.
Nice to meet you.
Wait, Coca-Cola. Can I interrupt? I'm sorry. It's from Coca-Cola. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
He's the son of the original. So he has all his dad's plans. And it built from spec, all the plans and everything.
Well,
my ramp is up.
Just don't pull the parachute. I hope you land on the other side okay.
Nobody more so than me and my kids and my wife, trust me.
You worry about your tombstone?
Either way.
Hey, it's a pleasure to meet you.
All
right, good luck.
Oh, yeah. Torch.
Come on, you're stud, bro.
I'm stud after I do it.
Eddie stands and watches a screen showing a winner with his trophy. The drag races go on into the night. Eddie watches from high up in the stands.
No, it was actually kind of a frustrating day for me because these guys spend big bucks to have their logos all over these cars that can, like, blow up at any moment. And those guys thought my project was too risky.
The rocket sits on its ramp beneath a cloudy sky.
The tension has begun to show on Evil.
Test procedures had malfunctioned. He'd been crammed on his back in the tin can rocket and the blood had gone to his head.
What this thing is, it's a monster. And you can see what it's doing to me. I think you all know now by looking at me, I wish that I didn't have to do this and I wasn't here.
Original footage of Evel Knievel climbing into the rocket. Eddie's in the car. 1 year later.
I never realized the complexity of how hard it would be to get a rocket across a canyon. Looking back now, I would have never imagined that it would have taken me over 2 years. It's been now 2 years
And I still haven't flown the rocket across the canyon. I would have never thought that. Just amazed. So, a long, hard road.
He drives to a workshop, Sons of Anarchy, FX Stunt Prep. Eddie sits in a car while two men weld.
I thought by now I would be done doing this to pay the bills, which is okay. I'm not complaining. Listen, I love my job. I've been doing it for a long time. But I must say, at this point in my life, I won't be too disappointed watching some young kid do this, and I'll be on the sidelines clapping.
Wearing a black flight suit with added leg pads, Eddie climbs into the cramped stunt car, squeezing between protective reinforcement bars in the cab. He puts on his helmet, and a couple of production guys speak to him before closing the car door. Eddie pulls away in the police 4x4. He drives fast down a desert highway and starts to overtake some motorbikes, then activates the stunt. Eddie veers off the road. The 4x4 falls and bounces down the steep hill. It stops on its side.
I'm good.
Eddie waits in the driver's seat. At home, the American flag flies outside the Braun house. Inside, Eddie and his family sit quietly around the dining table looking thoughtful.
Honey, thank you for dinner. It was good.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Tomorrow
night, soup. All right. All right. All right. When are you going to get the cough checked out?
What cough?
He coughs all the time.
Everybody does.
No, like even mom said he has a cough.
That thing?
We'll see. What I'll take care of. I told mom that I'll take care of the hernia.
You have a hernia?
Yeah, I've had it for a while. Yeah. So I'm going to do everything after the rocket.
Why not before so you're in good condition?
Well, because who knows what shape I'll be in afterwards, so I might as well just go in for a one-stop deal. It makes sense.
Dad, you going to go to the dentist too?
No, that will be after the rocket.
Can't your teeth break out from the wind?
From the wind? No, let's hope not.
Your teeth are going to fly out.
When I launch, we're not sure what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure my teeth aren't going to blow out. Did you tell Scarlett that?
Did you tell her that?
Well, the last few stunts have been pretty rough. But today, the nosebleeds have stopped. The ringing in my ears have stopped, so I'm okay. And guess what? There's smarter guys figuring this out, but it looks like TNT TBS will be involved in the rocket. Now, what's even cooler, though, is in the interim, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he loves the rocket. And he wants to help us by executive producing what will be a live network event. So we've signed a deal and partnered up with Mr. Johnson and 7 Bucks Productions. It couldn't have worked out better.
The fact of this thing carrying on for all this time, that Eddie hung in there, and I have a feeling myself personally that I would have become somewhat disillusioned and wanted to move on. And the tenacity of Eddie Braun far surpasses any stunt ability in any of us. I mean, that to me is the biggest part of the rocket challenge.
We have to be absolutely ready because we're being broadcast live. So we have to make sure that in this particular case that the steam is built up and it is ready to go, and we can't have delays, we can't slow it down, we can't find out if there's an O-ring leaking or any of that kind of stuff.
So I'm betting everything on this. I'm betting my reputation entirely. And ultimately, I'm betting my life physically entirely on this rocket project. But you know what? Great things in life are only gotten by guys that wanted to lay it all on the line. And I'm certainly willing to do that.
Eddie walks through the workshop and looks at the rocket, which has been painted and stands ready. Daytime, flying over hills towards the city.
Hey, it's Eddie. Hey, have you heard anything from the network yet on a launch date? You know, the rocket is ready. I'm ready. The ramp's ready. Okay, call me back, please.
At home.
We last left our heroes. Look out.
Things have changed. Somebody somewhere in the ivory tower decided that a rocket wasn't for them. And TNT TBS passed. These guys are not doing it, so they're coming off the rocket.
Well, honestly, I wasn't that shocked because there's been so many ups and downs to this whole thing. I don't know. I don't like to be too overconfident with stuff.
They embraced the project and actually had committed several million dollars to the project. Of course, I was ecstatic because I was assured that I would get my life savings back. Let your yeses be yes and your noes be no.
Eddie walks around the rocket in the workshop. He sits in the car looking frustrated.
You said that from day one.
You should go for it. Totally rogue. Totally just the Eddie way. Not some TNT or Fox or ABC or, you know. Because then it's like they always, I feel like, twist it and kind of make it their thing and it's his thing.
Eddie stands by the rocket with his evil spirit helmet.
Once he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. No matter what. He should just go for it.
Let's pick a date and we fly it.
With or without anybody else?
With or without anybody else. Well, I got you guys. That's all I need. We've got a rocket. We've got a canyon. We fly this thing.
It's exciting. I'm very proud of him.
What will you say to your dad after he does it?
Finally.
Footage of Evel Knievel.
Are you going to try it again?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I sat in it and gave it my best, and I don't know what to tell you.
A photo of three young children sitting in Knievel's rocket. In the workshop, Eddie and Kelly Knievel pull the cover off Evel Knievel's original rocket and wheel it out on its stand.
This is the original SkyCycle that my father, Evel Knievel, went down in the Snake River Canyon in 1974. A little worse for the wear after the crash, but...
This is hallowed ground right here. 42-year piece of history. Here it is. Your dad did it. He hit the button. This rocket is on the lunchbox, and it was on my lunchbox. I looked at this every day as a kid. I mean, every kid did.
A made-up print of the Evel Knievel rocket flying over the canyon.
Never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that I would grow into that person in that rocket trying that same thing. Life's funny like that.
Yeah, that damage is from the impact into the canyon.
I will say, seeing this rocket for the first time reinforces the craziness of it. That canyon is so deep and so wide, and this is so tiny. It's like a little tin coffin, basically, or could very well end up being that.
This is Evel Knievel and the Evel Knievel shock-absorbing stunt cycle.
What was it like to have an action figure of your father?
Well, I had the real thing. I didn't need an action figure. We didn't spend too much time with those.
Eddie, I already lost that there was a SkyCycle toy that seemed to work just fine.
It's funny when you see people wind it up and it jumps over little creeks and stuff. It's really funny.
Your dad inspired a whole generation of kids to do the impossible, to dream impossible. Or I was living proof that your dad inspired a generation of kids to go out and dare great things.
Listen, whatever you got to tell yourself to strap yourself into a rocket.
Well, it's going to be a shot, buddy.
Yes.
Going to be a shot.
September 14th, 2016, 48 hours before launch. Nighttime at home.
Yeah, I still got to pack.
Yeah, I know. So
you haven't packed.
No, I haven't packed. I've worn this thing through so many stunts, I can't even think. And here's the good news about it. Obviously, I was successful in this suit because there's no blood stains, and it hasn't been cut up from paramedics. So obviously, with this suit, I did okay. Elvis. Elvis, come here. I'll talk to you from Twin Falls.
Why are we going, Dad?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I got enough on my mind and stuff to do. You guys don't want to see that. It's just like work. I'll call Mom as soon as I'm done.
Yeah, don't forget.
So, Dak, you're 17. You know, you're pretty much an adult. The only thing, and you remember this, Haley, and you too, Scarlett. If I'm not here, you have to promise me that you'll walk each one of your sisters down the aisle when they
Dad,
get married.
Don't say that.
No, but I'm serious. Will you do that for me, Dak? That's the one thing I ask you. Promise?
Yeah.
We're going to ask him.
You will. He's your brother.
All right.
He kisses his family goodbye.
I love you.
Bye.
Eddie grabs his stuff and leaves.
The odds are you've never heard his name, but everyone would recognize Eddie Braun's work. He's been one of Hollywood's biggest stuntmen for 30 years.
There are a few people brave enough to use a rocket ship to jump a canyon.
With his stunt career winding down, Eddie Braun has decided to boldly go where one man has gone before.
So you're doing this for your hero, but I got to ask, because Eddie, a lot of people this morning are say you're crazy. You're going to be propelled from a rocket 400 miles per hour. You have to go 2,000 feet, but you have four kids. Is it worth the risk?
You just don't do it. Eddie and his team hope to launch the rocket off this Saturday with Eddie in the driver's seat.
Even if they do launch, one slight mistake could end with Eddie plunging into the canyon.
This guy, this is a stuntman who is a lifelong fan of Evel Knievel.
Stuntmen are wired a little bit differently,
uh-huh.
I'm assuming, than most of us, but this is something that he's always wanted to do.
And more than 40 years after the daredevil icon famously failed to jump the Snake River Canyon.
In the car.
Eddie, talk me through what you want me to do, regardless of what happens.
I've entrusted you wholeheartedly and completely to document this, and so do what you do, for better or worse. I promised you I'd give you an ending, and ultimately, if it is a tragic ending, if I'm not here, let it be noted now directly from me that I would want you to finish this story, because it's the last thing that I have that I can leave my family with. Let it be not a sad thing, I guess, as much as you could. Let it be kind of a thing that, hey, I went doing something that I was very passionate about. It's kind of like my love letter to my family in pictures.
Eddie looks ahead as he drives, the sun low on the horizon behind him. Cars drive over a bridge that spans the deep, wide canyon, flying over fields towards the setting sun. Then from high above, a patchwork of fields with the canyon winding through them. A lone bird flies around the ramp. From a distance, the scaffolding stands tall on the edge of the canyon, 24 hours before launch. Footage of Knievel smashing a bottle against his rocket on the ramp. Eddie stands on a platform and writes, "Meg Braun, the angel beneath my wings," on his rocket.
Hello, wife's name on there.
Of course. That is a special, special woman. I don't know her that well. All I know is that to support you through all this.
Eddie heads back down.
In order for me to pull this off, if I'm going to be successful, I better have the best people around me. The best guys happen to be my friends. Buddy Joe Hooker, Gary Davis, Connie Pomazana,
if you looked in the dictionary under the definition of a stuntman, it'd be one of those guys' picture there. I mean, you don't get better than that.
I'm on the takeoff side here. They've been asked to make sure Eddie gets in and belt it in fine, that everything's good to go on this side. And Gary's in charge of the more important end, which is landing, getting him out.
If the tank blows on the back end, everything comes out, I'm going to let the ambulance come over here.
So we're going to let that thing cook for a couple hours?
Yes, sir.
So when the rocket is fully charged, that's at its most dangerous time. What happens is once it is released, it gets full thrust right away. Once it's out of power, it's out of power, and the rest of the time it coasts. So the launch is going to last and go, and from there on out, it's just momentum, like you threw a baseball. And did you throw it far enough? The parachute is run by Eddie in the cockpit.
I'm going to be very disoriented, but I have to deploy these parachutes in a sequence or they won't work. There's three of them. Paint them red, white, and blue, because even days I can remember the order in which to pull them. Red, obviously, is first, and this is a drogue chute.
The drogue chute is just to slow it down.
White is my primary chute.
That's to soften the landing as best it can.
So I hopefully only go red, white. And if for some reason I pull this and nothing is happening, there's the last one. It is the old, oh crap one. This is the emergency chute. And this will hopefully just keep me alive. Gary Davis will have a remote, which is connected to Blue. So he'll also be going, oh crap, the same time I will. And Blue will be deployed in the event I'm unconscious and don't pull red and white.
From the time he's in there, we don't want him sitting in there any longer than he has to.
All right. Yeah. It's 3, 2, 1, fire.
Other than that, I'm pulling and praying. Okay.
Eddie has asked at the other side for us not to rush in. He hopes, in all sincerity, to be able to get out himself. And then he just wants a little bit of time with he and the ship.
A cradle on a crane is swung over to the ramp, and flags are attached.
Buddy Joe, are you good with everything that you've seen? You're good with...
Totally. All you got to do is punch the button and let's go.
Oh, yeah, there's that, huh?
That's all.
But you're good?
Yeah, looks great.
Pedal to the metal. You know, here's the point. Is these people here, they don't know that I've got, like, the A-team of the A-team supporting me. They'll never really know.
They don't need to know any of that.
They don't need to know any of that.
Today's your day, buddy.
Yeah. Today is yours. We'll all talk about it later over drinks.
We'll take credit later.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll take all the credit.
Tonight I'll take all the credit. Yeah. These people here have no idea how many times they've seen you guys. It's kind of cool.
I'm humbled at the team that has gravitated towards this thing. Both Eddie and I saw this from the exact same place. We both thought, this is going to be huge. Just announce that we're doing it, and everybody would get excited about it. It has just been like pushing up against a wall for the entire time. But now that people have finally seen a rocket and a ramp, they're going, oh my gosh, these guys might actually pull this off. And I've heard that so many. If I hear the word might pull this off again, I might blow a freaking gasket, because you don't come this far and only might get it done.
Those actually go to the rocket thing.
My dad was an amazing guy, so this is my opportunity to pay homage to my dad. My biggest regret is that I wish I could have started this earlier and finished it before he passed away.
Why did you, Bob Truax, after a long and distinguished career in rocketry and astronautics, get involved with something like this?
Well, I guess from my preliminary association with him, I was convinced that he's a pretty gutsy guy, and by golly, he was going to go through with it.
The other thing that I'm a little concerned about,
the timing of the chute. You're going to clear the canyon, you're still going to be going like this.
Right.
By the time you flatten out, I better see the chute, and I don't want to see it on your descent.
As long as we have communication, once you tell me I've cleared the canyon, when I pull the drogue, you know, confirm. Because when I start coming over the top, if you still don't see a drogue chute, that'll be your first heads up. Okay, there's an issue. Then I go to Blue.
Go to Blue.
Right.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that exactly. Right. What kind of dialogue we have at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see a drogue chute, you can tell me, Blue, 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 and I hear Blue three times, I'm pulling.
Okay.
So as long as we have communication, everything else will be fine.
I mean, no question about that.
But I know, we only got
my job.
Yeah, I know.
Buddy Joe Hooker stands by Eddie's car and looks out thoughtfully. Footage of Robert Truax.
I have never hidden the fact that it's going to be more dangerous than an azimuth.
Nighttime.
Honey?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Subtitles. I love you.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I miss you
a lot.
Honey, don't mess this up.
I'll try and do...
Don't worry. Why are you laughing? It's not funny.
I will try and do everything right. I promise
you.
Hey,
you can't mess this up. You keep dying and leave me alone. I'm for real. You better not.
Sucker, I'll be around to haunt your ass either way.
Are you not going to get coffee?
Yeah, we'll see.
You better have a sip of something because you're like... You can't even talk.
All right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Honey, don't worry. I'll call you in the morning.
Bye.
Good night.
Eddie hangs up. The full moon sits high in the pale sky. At night, from above, looking down on the lit-up rocket at the bottom of the tall, steep ramp. Eddie sits in a motel room and looks at letters. One starts, Rocket Man. Daddy, I can't believe that it's really time. Wow, I'm so incredibly proud of you. He unfolds another that starts, Dear Dad, I love you and am very proud of you. Eddie takes down his old white jacket with its red and blue stripes on the arm. He looks at his blue stars and stripes helmet, then leaves with his gear. The bright golden sun sits on the horizon, shining towards the rocket and ramp. September 16th, 2016. Launch day. Eddie looks out thoughtfully.
Looks like it's going to be a good day, huh, Kurt?
Yeah.
Clear skies. And if everything goes just perfect, tomorrow morning will be just like this morning. Cup of coffee, read the paper. Pretty much the same as today, hopefully.
He sits in a diner and opens out a newspaper with the day's date on it. A side story on the front page is titled, Second Stuntman Has Shoot Concerns. Michael Hughes says he's concerned about parachute design. Eddie writes on a napkin.
Might as well leave a message for anybody that gives a crap. My little rocket adventure. Here's the thing. If this were to become my last note, this is what I'd want it to say. So it's perfect.
To all my friends, past, present, and future, thank you for your love and support. I'll be back soon. Eddie. Eddie scrunches the napkin up and looks thoughtful. Then he drinks from a large white mug. He looks down at the table, then drinks again.
All right.
He stands up. Eddie drives down the straight desert highway in bright sunlight. He rubs his mouth thoughtfully and blinks as he drives. Cars cross the bridge that spans the canyon. Eddie drives towards the launch site and wipes his eyes with the heel of his hands, then runs them through his hair.
All right. Here we go, buddy.
Time to go to work, man.
Time to go to work.
It's very real, man. It's like almost... It's so unreal. This whole 3.5 year odyssey finally gets an ending today.
He pulls into the site where lots of other cars are already parked. Eddie gets out of the car and walks through a gate. The team stand with shot glasses.
Buddy Joe, please lead us.
I don't really quite know what to say about all this other than I know I've been listening to Eddie's dream.
for years and how he wanted to make it happen and how it is happening.
My late husband, Todd Swayze, Eddie's going to take his ashes up in the rocket. He's here in spirit. I'm going to cry.
Don't cry.
To see that dream become a reality is, I mean, it's really important to me, and I'm sure it's important to everybody here. And I wouldn't have missed it for the world. But as long as I'm on my 2 feet, here's to Eddie. May
to
you have
us.
A wonderful, beautiful, safe flight. And may you envision it the whole way. I want you to see it the whole way.
Thank you.
Here we go. Cheers. Cheers. To the canyon. Let's Cheers. Jump it.
Everybody to the canyon. Okay.
Thank you all very much.
They all toast Eddie. The rocket's prepared for launch.
This is the flight simulation program. It shows how far, how fast, where it's going to land.
We have winds at 20 miles per hour at ground level. So if you have winds from the west, 40 miles an hour, here's roughly where you'll land.
A small yellow flag marks the estimated landing site. 30 minutes to launch. Eddie's getting into the bus when Kurt Matilla stops him.
Set up cameras on the landing side now, so I'll see you over there.
What time is it? 3:21.
And I'm going over with all my guys. 3:50 loading, 4 o'clock shooting.
Nobody forced me here. Nobody. I chose this. This will probably be the last or only time in my career or my life that I will get this kind of thrill, and thrill is a cheap word, that I will get this much exhilaration. That's maybe a better word. And I want to enjoy it. I don't want to be terrified.
Subtitles. We're at the go or no-go point. Is there any reason we need to scrub this?
No. Thank you.
Lee Blaine speaks into a radio.
Brad Ewing, Chris Fiore, everybody go to channel 2. Go to channel 2.
Thanks, man.
Subtitles. I just got the go or no-go approval from Craig. We're on. On the bus.
So they'll be making a call pretty quick when we're 10 minutes out.
Get game time.
You got to get out there on the field, man.
Brad, this is the only camera I got left, man. We're using all the cameras. This
Batteries
is good.
Are flying out.
I feel like I'm at the center of a very big storm. Not a bad storm, but all this stuff is happening around me, yet in here, there's kind of peaceful. Center of the storm. We're on?
Time to load you in.
Hey, Connie,
yes.
We've been in this spot dozens of times. Let's go do a job.
They leave the bus.
Yes, you're loading Eddie in.
Eddie opens the door of the bus and steps down to half a dozen people. One of them takes photos. Eddie and Connie walk towards the ramp together. A handful of spectators sit and watch as Eddie reaches the ramp. Eddie and Connie go up a ladder to the platform beside the steeply angled rocket. An open-top vehicle pulls up by a field, and the driver watches through binoculars. Eddie puts on his helmet and climbs into the rocket. Scott watches from his truck.
Gary Davis, tell me this is Evil Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I kind of changed my mind. When I land, come help me. I'll never get out of this by myself. For God, help me, and then I'll walk away from you.
Okay.
And whether it's on the comm or not, when I'm letting you out, you give me thumbs up.
You give me some way of knowing that you're not hurt anywhere. Otherwise, I'm signaling the paramedics in while I continue to do what I can do.
Copy that.
Thank you.
Eddie puts down his radio, and Connie straps him in.
Connie, I said this to Gary, I'll say it to you. I can't say thank you enough, Connie, for being here and supporting me.
I love you, man. You know.
I know you do. I promise I won't embarrass you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm very proud to be here, and I'm very proud that you want me here. That makes me feel
good. I couldn't
do
this without you, Connie. You guys have, both of you, you've been with me too many times. Hey, Gary?
When I leave the ramp, will you let me know I'm pointed in the right direction?
Yes, sir. As long as that doesn't interfere with you, I will tell you you're looking good. And then you pull your first ring.
Copy that.
That's what we'll do.
Eddie says I'm good to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah. Eduardo, my friend, have a nice ride. We'll talk on the other side.
Thank you.
Good job, buddy. Good job.
This is Evil Spirit. I'm in here and I'm good to go.
So, Eddie, don't forget his visor.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Cameras should be rolling. Rockets are ready. Stand by.
Visor down.
Docking clamp has been released.
See that light initiated.
Initiator enabled. Launching in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The rocket launches. Steam bursts out of the back, sending it up the ramp. Two guys run out of the control bus to watch. People on the ground shield their eyes and watch it fly perfectly upwards into the air towards blue sky and sunshine. A camera on the front shows Eddie through the plastic canopy.
You look good. You look good.
The crew watches the rocket's angled trajectory. Through the canopy, straps flap around in front of Eddie. Eddie's gloved hand moves around. The rocket starts to drop down, and Gary runs to the truck. Eddie pulls a handle, and the small red chute deploys. The rocket falls. Eddie looks around and deploys the second chute. The rocket keeps dropping fast.
It's coming down fast.
It drops straight down, with the two parachutes strung out behind it. Gary's vehicle speeds across a field. Eddie looks straight down at the ground rushing towards him. The rocket lands nose first. Eddie's thrown around in the cockpit. Behind the rocket, the second parachute slowly drifts down and sits on the ground, still inflated. A small hedge blocks the view of the rocket, but the red and white striped parachute remains upright behind it. In slow motion, Kurt Matilla and others run across the dry, muddy ground towards the crash site. Kurt carries a camera in one hand. Gary's vehicle speeds across the field, kicking up dust.
He's down all the way flat.
That way around.
Right
to him, right to him.
Talk to him.
Talk to me, Eddie. I'm on my way to you. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Eddie sits in the cockpit, breathing deeply. His head moves, and he holds his fist in the air. Eddie pulls himself out of the cockpit, and his team congratulate him.
Evil, Knievel has something that he wants very much to say when it's all done.
I'd just like to make a statement to the maybe young daredevils in this country. It's not how fast you can drive or ride or how far you can jump. It's how you go about it.
Hi,
mind freezes until I hear his voice.
I love you, my angel.
When I heard his voice, just relief.
Hang on, careful, hang on the eye. Dad?
Princess? We did it.
Eddie's perfect. He's wonderful, guys. Everything's wonderful.
Eddie picks up the corner of the parachute and touches it to his face.
I say to you finally, in life, success is achieved by those who try and keep trying.
Text on screen reads, nearly 42 years after Evel Knievel's original launch, Eddie successfully completed his hero's mission and cleared the 700-foot canyon. Eddie is still determined to retire one day, but in the meantime, he continues to work as a stuntman. Eddie eats with his family at home.
Well, I'm not the kind of kiss and tell that I've been seen with Pharaoh. Never been with anything less than a nine. So fine, it's a death-defying life I lead. I'll take my chances, die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I'll ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy as I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building, I might roll a brand new car, 'cause I'm the unknown stuntman, made Redford such a star. Yeah, I'm the unknown stuntman.
November 2019. Eddie's in a stunt car. Audio description created by SDI Media. Funded by Disney Plus Originals. Written by Jez Watts. Narrated by Eric Myers.
She packed my bags last night pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife.